I can call the order to January 25th, 2024 meeting. All those which need a testimony, very particularly, all proceedings of the city and the mandatory work fields are recorded. Decisions of the DDA are filed.
Excuse me, sir. Your microphone is turned off, please.
Well, thank you. How about that? There we go. If you will now, if you will stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer.
Father, we just thank you for this morning, for the privilege of living in this city, for time to come together and do the business of the city. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding, help us to make good and right decisions. Lord, I ask that you bless this city, bless every marriage and family here and in this town. And Lord, we just thank you for it and thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you will, if you're going to speak or give testimony here today, if you will, please stand. And if you're at home listening in online and you plan to speak, please follow with us. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay, thank you. All right. We have a resolution of appreciation for Larry Evans. He's not able to be here today. And I'm going to read that and think maybe we have a, going to have a motion to accept the resolution. Whereas Larry Evans has served on the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals since January 2021. And whereas the Savannah ZBA hears appeals of decisions by the zoning administrator, the MPC, the Historic Review Board, evaluates and approves some uses with specific zoning districts, hears requests for variances and from development standards, and considers requests for extensions of nonconforming uses. And whereas during his 2 years of service, Mr. Evans, on behalf of the citizens of Savannah, provoked thoughtful discourse and provided excellent recommendations, allowing the community to achieve the highest standards for development and growth. And whereas Mr. Evans' integrity and ethical behavior is widely recognized and respected by everyone who encountered him, and whereas Mr. Evans has faithfully served the board and the citizens of Savannah, and whereas Mr. Evans, due to his professional obligations, has made the decision to resign from the board and will be missed by MPC staff and members of Savannah ZBA, now therefore be it resolved that the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals does hereby express its grateful appreciation to Larry Evans for his dedication, professionalism, and service to this board and to the citizens of the city of Savannah, and be it further resolved that the commission members extend to Mr. Evans their thanks for a job well done and best wishes in his endeavors. Do I hear a motion to accept this resolution of appreciation?
Make a motion.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to accept the resolution.
Seconded
by Mrs. Jones. Give me just a second here. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the resolution is accepted. Next, we need a the approval of the minutes from the December 14th, 2023 meeting. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
I so move.
Second.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to accept the minutes, and Mr. Plunk has seconded that motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the minutes are approved. If you will, look over the final agenda as you see it before you. We need a motion to accept.
Motion to approve the final agenda as written.
All right, we have a motion to approve the final agenda as written. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and the agenda is approved. All right, first under old business, we're going to hear 813 East 34th Street, variances to accessory dwelling unit rear setback and separation from principal dwelling, 23-002660.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services. This is a petition that appeared before you previously in June of 2023. And it was continued in order to permit the permissioner some petitioner some time to develop, in essence, a complete submittal for consideration. And so now that we've had a chance to look at this more closely, there are a couple of things that are being requested. Again, this is for a residence at 813 East 34th Street. And I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. So the petitioner is requesting consideration of variances from the required 3-foot rear setback for from a public lane for an after-the-fact accessory dwelling unit, 5 feet for an existing non-conforming accessory structure, and also petitioner is requesting a variance to the required 10-foot separation between an ADU and the principal dwelling on the lot in order to permit a separation of 7.96 feet. Just a little bit of background. This originally came to us as a code enforcement issue. We understand that on January 11th, a code enforcement officer came to the property due to debris and noticed that there was a concrete pad at the rear of the property. Between July and August of 2022, the code enforcement officer issued stop work orders before, but for doing work without having obtained a building permit. The applicant submitted a building permit, an application for a building permit in November of 2022, and was told by the City of Savannah's Development Services Department that the accessory building would need a variance to the rear yard setback. And so when these come in, we do take time to look at all of the potential variances that may be required for work that's underway. And so this is just to give you some background on the property. It's zoned PR1, Traditional Residential 1. And this is a conforming parcel within this particular zoning district. It's actually quite large. It seems to contain 3 lots of record, 2 that are conforming and 1 that is likely substandard. And so the home on the parcel consists of 1,688 square feet. There are also 2 accessory structures that have been noted on the property for quite a while. The first one, as recently as about 2020, appears to have been as large as 14 by 26. This one, in the course of recent construction, seems to have been reduced to 12 by 16 for about 192 square feet of area for that one. This particular structure is non-conforming with regard to its setback from the rear property line at 0 feet, where a minimum of 5 are required. The other accessory structure is approximately 10 by 12. This one appears to remain unaltered. It is approximately 120 square feet in the area. And so the new construction that was noted is a garage that later was determined to likely be an ADU. It's likely to contain living quarters. And so this was the structure that actually caused this particular petition to come about. And so when we received the site plan from the petitioner, everything that is on the lot does actually fit within the maximum 50% lot coverage. However, not all of the existing structures, the one that's under construction, nor the 2 that were there previously, appear on the site plan. And so after reviewing all of the criteria, staff does recommend approval, but only of those items that actually appear on the petitioner's site plan. And we recommend approval with the following conditions: that the future construction shall be consistent with the site plan that was submitted, and also that construction be contingent, as it should be, with contingent upon the City of Savannah Building Department's approval in order to ensure that these are constructed in a manner that would not, you know, be a safety hazard, in essence. So again, with that, staff does recommend approval with these 2 conditions. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff?
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Thank you.
The primary residence is a single-family dwelling. Am I correct that the ADU is a two-story building?
No. It actually is still in process, and it's our understanding it's going to be one story, but it is not yet finished.
I apologize for interrupting you, sir.
No.
When I look at the plan, it appears as though, if you would be so kind as to pull up the site plan, I might be misreading it. On the picture that shows the elevation, looks like a two-story building. Am I looking at something incorrectly?
You are correct in that these appear this way. We are evaluating the site plan that was submitted. So I believe these are the building plans that came in. There has been some discussion with the city, and it's my understanding the petitioner does understand this ADU cannot exceed the height of the principal dwelling. And so
that's where I'm going. I just don't want them to have to come back again for a separate variance for height. If they didn't realize.
Absolutely. Right, they should be aware of the fact that they would have to come back where other variance is required.
Yep.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Yes.
Is the petitioner here? Will you please come forward, ma'am, and state your name for the record. Sign in if you haven't already done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Monica Wilson.
How you doing, Mrs. Wilson?
I'm fine, thank you.
You want to say anything?
I just want to say I appreciate you guys allowing me to come. I appreciate you all allowing me to come back and get everything squared away. We try to get everything in compliance. And I'm here to answer any questions if you have any. But
any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Connor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I just want to make sure, because I don't want to have a problem for you. In the plan that the architect drew for you, it shows that the ADU is two stories tall. I just want to make sure that you're aware that you either need a second variance for that, or you would need to tell your architect he's going to have to change it, because what will happen is that the building department will kick it out. They won't give you a building permit. Even if we give you the variance today, if the accessory dwelling unit is taller than the primary residence. So I just want you to be aware of that. And if that's something that you think that's going to happen, I hate to keep kicking things down the road, but to save you application fees and time and so on, you'd be better served to postpone this for today if you think you have to have a second floor. If you think you can build the ADU with just one floor and the same height as the existing residence, no worries. You just go ahead and do what you're going to do.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you, ma'am. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. All right. And we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Plunk?
I guess I'd just like to know if the petitioner want us to.
I'm sorry. There's someone right now who raised their hand.
Oh, online.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know who it is?
It's Teresa Vaselli.
Mrs. Vaselli, do you want to speak?
Hi, good morning. I want to thank you very much for raising the question about the height of the building. And because my property is kitty cornered behind this property. So is it going to be a full house in the back, and where will they park?
Okay. Would you like to answer that, or Mr. Morrow?
So this would only be permitted to be an ADU. Off-street parking is not required for an ADU.
And you want to address the height, I guess?
Again, it's staff's position that we're evaluating the site plan. The height is something that I understand there's been conversation with City of Savannah staff. And so there should be a resubmission of the building plans in order to reflect an ADU that is of height that is in accordance with the ordinance.
Okay. Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Yeah, yes, it does. And I thank you for allowing me to speak. I just wanted to point out that, you know, this has been a very responsible neighbor. But in Edgemere, we're a tiny neighborhood of we're only 53rd, 54th, 55th from Waters Avenue to the Truman Parkway, and we struggle with the duplexes that bring so much blight and crime to the neighborhood that, you know, that it would be it's just that to have a – I guess that we're all going to have to adapt to the accessory dwelling unit, but we just live with so many duplexes as it is in this neighborhood.
Yeah, do you realize this – we're talking about 34th Street, correct?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were discussing – I apologize. I thought you were discussing the ADU on 55th Street.
No, ma'am.
Okay, I apologize.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, I was going to ask you to respond to public comment, but since it didn't have anything to do with you, we'll go back to Mr. Plunk.
I was just asking for the petitioner to confirm whether it would be one story or two stories, whether you want to get a continuance for height or not. I didn't hear you actually respond one way or the other to Mr. Condon.
Well, from the plans, it's going to be two, but it's going to be a one bedroom, but it's going to be below the primary dwelling.
So it'll be two stories, but the overall height will be less than that of the primary dwelling?
Yes, sir.
Is the plan?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have.
I have a question.
But
I don't need to come to the podium. What is it saying? Is it APU or
ADU, accessory dwelling unit.
What's the difference between that?
Okay, so an accessory dwelling unit is, think of it as kind of like a smaller or subservient home to a principal home on the lot. An accessory being something that is in addition to a principal. So it cannot, by ordinance, either by name or by ordinance standards, meet the size of a principal dwelling. An ADU can be a maximum of 40% of the square footage of a principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 feet. So if it would either exceed 40% of the square footage of the principal dwelling or up to 700 feet, we would be here discussing a variance for that purpose. So it must necessarily be smaller than the principal home on the lot. Also, it cannot exceed one bedroom.
In Savannah, they're frequently known as a carriage house or an in-law suite. You may have heard.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment.
We're already entered into board discussion, sir. Mrs. Jared, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, somebody like to make a motion?
Motion to grant petitioner's request with the stipulations provided by staff.
Second. Okay.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the petitioner's request with the stipulations recommended by staff attached. Is there a second by Mrs. Jones? Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 823 Joe Street, a side yard setback variance 23-006303.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a request for the property at 823 Joe Street. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record at this time. The petitioner is requesting an after-the-fact variance for relief from a side yard setback requirement in the TR3 zoning district. This is a structure that was permitted based on plans that were submitted to the building department, and later it was determined upon a foundation survey that the metrics in the approved plans were inaccurate. And so what you can see on your screen here, the building plans were submitted and approved back in July of 2023. And you can see here on the right-hand side, you're looking at the home. And the interesting thing about this is the parcel is it would appear to be square because the dimensions front, back, side to side are the same. However, it does have somewhat of a slant. And so when the foundation was poured, it became evident that the foundation was actually closer at the front side where 3 feet were required. And so it's sitting at 1.7 feet. And so this is something that was discovered in the course of, I guess, the bank's handling of its closeout procedures for this particular mortgage. And they required that the petitioner come in to obtain this variance in order to grant relief for that. So in essence, just to run back through this very quickly, this is also an abnormality in that SAGES reflects that this parcel is conforming within this district at 30 feet of frontage and 110 feet. Both of these surveys indicate that the frontage on the parcel is actually 22.5 feet. So that's another kind of abnormality that was discovered in this process. The parcel does contain a two-story single-family home that, again, was duly permitted back in July. Per the approved building plans, it's a 2,112-square-foot home, and it is within the lot coverage for this zoning district. And here is a photo of that home so that you can see that it is existing at present. So with that, staff does recommend approval of the variance, and I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mrs. Jones, do you have any questions for Mr. Morrow?
Not at this time.
Mr. Plunk? Just a minute. You'll get a chance. Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mrs. Jared?
I have a question that you're probably not going to be able to answer. Any idea if they used a fireproofing material on?
I am not sure. That is a building department question.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Turner?
No questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Damon Milton.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Mr. Milton?
Pretty much everything he said was okay, but he said I needed a 1.7 variance.
Yes, sir. That's what he says.
Wouldn't it be 1.3?
Yeah.
It's 1.3. The house sits 1.7 feet from the property line where it should be. Sorry, 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, thank you, sir. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
No.
All right. Any members of the public that would like to speak, if you will, please come forward.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I live adjacent to this 823 property.
Ma'am, state your name for the record, please.
Oh, my name is Mrs. Polite, the older Polite at 829 Joe Street.
Thank you, Mrs. Polite.
And I live adjacent to this property where they built this house. This house is built on right on the property line, right on the property line. My line and the church line is built. It's a little narrow house, like the picture show on the screen. And if they put their AVAC system and all of that on the outside of that house where they got it set to go, it'll be on my property instead of their property, because there's only 1 feet of land between my property and their property. And they're saying the lane is slanted. My lane is not slanted. It's straight. It's straight. I got a straight foot from Joe Street to Joe Lane. And they're saying that the property is slanted like that, but it's not. It's a straight line. And that, I think that's all I got to say about that, because they are, if they put all the equipment like the AVAC and that's the air conditioning unit and all that on my side of the property, they will be over the property line, because they don't have enough room over there to put it.
They won't be able to do that. He's going to have to put it in the backyard. He won't be able to put it on your property.
That's what I say when I went out there and saw it. They have to put it in the backyard.
The building department will make sure that that happens.
Thank you.
Come on, sir. Mr. Milton, we'll give you a chance to respond in just a minute.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Jones. I passed a check right there on Joe Street, 819 East Joe Street. And we're on the 819 and 821. And I'm here concerned about the property line. That's why I'm here. Because the property estate, when it surveyed, it has been moved. And seeing like we're about 1 foot where the house built at off the property line. And that's why I'm here. I'm trying to find out what is the code between the two houses, between church property and the house. And that's why I'm here, you know. And I just want to know what are the law for that.
Mr. Morrow, you might want to explain.
Yeah.
So on the petitioner's property, he's required to have a setback of 3 feet. And so he's here today because the structure that he's built is not necessarily going across the property line, but at this particular location, it is at 1.7 feet where it should be 3. So he's asking for 1.3 feet of relief. The structure itself does not sit on anybody else's property line. It's supposed to be 3 feet. He's got less than 3 feet.
I agree. This is what I'm saying. It would have 3 feet between the property, but we don't have about 1 feet.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, but nonetheless, no one is putting any structures on anyone else's property.
Well, cool, now that's the building down below. But how about the E part?
So these are two separate surveys. Well, yeah. One survey. This is the actual site plan. Again, the proposal was not to place the structure on anybody else's property. Everything is within the boundaries of the petitioner's property. And then where it actually sits, it is fully within. And again, the request is to grant relief for this area that is at 1.7 feet
rather than the code bill, you can have 1 foot between the two houses.
No, they're asking for relief. They're asking for relief because they don't have it, but they are not on anyone else's property.
I can't deal with church property.
They're not on anyone else's property. They're not on anyone else's property.
No, but what I'm saying, but they need 3 feet. The only way they can get it is
if this board gives it to them.
Yeah, that's what we do here to hear everybody's side and determine whether we give him an exception to the rule or not.
So y'all just take it and give it to him?
We're not giving him anything that's not his other than permission to get closer than the 3 feet that he's permitted by law. That's why the Zoning Board of Appeals exists.
We're not taking church property.
Yeah, nobody's taking anybody's property, and he's not putting anything on anybody's property. He just wants to get closer to it than the law says that he can do. And that's what we do here is determine whether he has meets the criteria for special conditions and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But we couldn't give him permission to be on your property at all.
But I was concerned about most of it, putting the fence on the fence line, putting the fence there. That way, you know what I mean? It'll kind of like, and then you won't have 3 feet.
Ah, okay.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Of course, now we can sell him some, you know, sell him what he needs. We can do that.
We'll let y'all work that out between the two of you.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Any other members of the public would like to speak?
Huh? We'll
thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Milton, would you like to respond to public comment?
I got one more thing. As far as the property line, as far as the acquisition in the back, it's enough for the back. As you can see, I got a survey. In the front is where the issue is at. In the back, it's 3 feet in the rear. But in the front is where it's landed at. And that's where I need the relief for is basically in the front. In the back, it's okay, because we got the sticks, we got all the things that's in the ground when I got the survey. But in the back, it's okay. But when the slant happens near the front. All right.
All right. Well, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Condon?
I think it's important that we allay some of the concerns of the neighbor, so that I would recommend that any motion have attached to it that the HVAC unit would be put behind the house. I'm concerned about, I do this for a living, I'm concerned about the size of those, and the neighbor is concerned enough about it that she's here today that we should put that in a place that doesn't upset her.
That's a good point. Mrs. Jared, do you have anything you'd like to say?
The other option would be to run a string line from the two property lines where they want to put the AC unit and show that it would fit within the property.
Mr. Blum?
No.
Mrs. Jones? No. I mean, this is kind of weird, because if the place is already built, the he's either got to get his variance or this is going to be really bad.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like both neighbors have a lot of concern. I would too. What, and I know we're not here to talk about it, but Mr. Morrow, what about the fence being on, they're showing a fence line. Has that fence been built?
No, at present, this photo was taken just a couple of days ago. There is no fence present.
Yeah, there's no room for it. And I'm guessing he could not build the fence.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Especially if he puts his air conditioning unit there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fence is not really an issue at all since it's not there.
I do believe the petitioner is in agreement with placing the condenser unit for his HVAC in the rear of the property.
Okay, and Mr. Morrow, the reasons for this even needing to be here is because the original survey was wrong?
Well, according to the building plans that were submitted, no variances were required. This was approved without issue. And so right here on the right-hand side, you can see that everything is conforming. There's even a note here that says new home shall, it's referring to the 3-foot setback. So here in the plans, it makes mention of the setback that's required. It's only at the point that the financier started to do their, you know, closing and things like that for this transaction that they discovered there was an issue. So. Okay.
Would someone care to make a motion?
Before we make the motion, sir, they're saying that there's no issue with the property. They show me the church. I picked the shoulder to the church side, but then showed my side, which is the rest of the side. But they're saying my survey is crooked, but my survey line is not crooked, it's straight back. And they're saying some of the property that I'm claiming for my property is not my property. They, according to the survey that survey my property for me, says they only have one feet between their property and my property. That's what the issue is for me.
Yes, ma'am.
And if they'd have talked to me, maybe we could have reached some agreement, but they didn't talk. They just put the building up there and did what they wanted to do and did not respect us at all.
Well, ma'am, I don't think they realized that they were, they put the building in the wrong place. I think
they knew because they the one brought it to my attention. They knew because they told me, oh, your property line is crooked. I said, no, sir, my property line is not. My property line is straight. That's why he told me he has enough room in the back and not enough room in the front because they're saying my property line is crooked.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. All right. The chair will entertain a motion if someone would like to make it.
Move to approve the variance.
All right. Mrs. Jones, or excuse me, Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? I know you had made mention of wanting to.
I think we should add to our motion that the air conditioning condenser should be placed behind the building.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to amend the motion to that Mrs. Jarrett made to include that the variance is contingent upon the heating and air units being placed in the rear.
I'll accept a friendly amendment.
Right. Is there, so there's a second by Mrs. Jarrett for the amendment. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote on the amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. So the motion passes and the main motion is now amended to include the part about the heating and air units being in the rear. Is there any discussion on the main motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variance is approved with conditions. All right, next we're going to hear 1416 East 55th. Oh, excuse me. There is no file number included with this item on the agenda.
My apologies for that.
Okay, this is File number 23-006380.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow. This is a request in association with 1416 East 55th Street. And the petitioner is requesting three variances in order to bring an existing structure into use as an accessory dwelling unit. Staff's understanding this is an existing pool house. And so in order to turn this into an ADU, the petitioner needs variances for the 5-foot interior side setback and 3-foot rear yard setback for an ADU, and also a variance from the 125% minimum lot area requirement for an ADU in the petitioner's zoning district, which is RSF6. So in order to establish an ADU here, you would need a minimum of 7,500 square feet. The petitioner's lot is 6,300. So here are the requirements for an ADU. This is section 8.7.4 of the zoning ordinance. And actually, at this point, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. You can see here the items that are highlighted in yellow are the items that are requested for relief. This is kind of an elevation and a floor plan for the existing pool house and the intended layout once it has its living quarters. And after going through the evaluation criteria, staff does recommend approval of the three requested variances. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Is there any questions for staff? Mrs. Jarrett?
Mr. Moore, we seem to be running into this 125% lot area requirement. Is that something that the MPC should be looking at as far as maybe changing that requirement, modifying that requirement a bit?
It is something that we can look into. Interestingly, we have a similar situation right now that this board is going to hear likely in March because it is currently with the Historic Preservation Commission. So stay tuned.
Okay. Also, the shell for this already exists. They're just going to modify the inside to make it livable.
That is my understanding. The walls are in place. It's a pump house for a pool, and they would just like to add some living quarters. I think there's going to be an outdoor shower if there's not one, but Ms. White should either be on the phone or present to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hi, I'm Mayan.
How are you doing?
Good.
You got anything you'd like to say?
No, I don't. That's all I care. Yes, it's an existing structure. It was an old garage pool pump house, and we just want to renovate it to get grandma to stay and tell about.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, then. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? The lady that was online earlier, is she still there? You will use the raise your hand feature again.
Hi, I thank you very much, and I just wanted to apologize because my dog started throwing up before when I spoke, so I didn't know what house you were speaking on. But I'm familiar with that back house, and like I said, the neighbor's always been very good, so I really have nothing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I think I skipped. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? All right. And would you like to respond to public comment?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, you can sit down if you like.
Thank you.
Any questions for her?
Yeah. That's by definition, right? Mr. Turner, do you want to say anything?
No comment.
Mr. Condon? Mrs. Jared?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plump?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plump. Any discussion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes, and The request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 711 East 36th Street, lot front variance 23-006341.
Mr. Chair, if you would bear with me one second, I'm going to pull up the ordinance. Okay, my apologies. Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services. This is a request in association with 711 East 36th Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance from the minimum lot width of 40 feet to construct two detached single-family homes on two new lots that would be allowed to be created through the grant of the requested variance. And I wanted to bring up my ordinance just to show you. In essence, the petitioner is asking to apply a set of standards here within the TR1 zoning district, which is going to be found in this column right here, for single-family detached homes that are located on street frontage. You're required to have a minimum lot area of 3,000 square feet and then a minimum lot width of 40 feet. That's with street access. Ordinarily, these requirements here on the right would be associated with having lane access behind your house, right? So we'd be talking about something that is less than a street, but there would actually be public right-of-way that would pass behind your house. So in essence, the petitioner is asking to apply the lane standards to this particular piece of property. So this is not something that is foreign to the zoning district, just requires a matter of interpretation just to make it make sense. So this is the petitioner's site plan right here. And this is an existing 6,000 square foot lot with 60 feet of frontage. And this is the proposed subdivision. And so the requested variance would allow the creation of these two lots having 3,000 square feet in area and 30 feet of frontage. And again, ordinarily, we would be looking at a lane here rather than a street. But because this is a street, we have applied the street standards to this. So actually, this is a more substantial right-of-way than would ordinarily be found in this particular situation. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is a visual, and actually I have a better one. This is one that I included. But you can see here, within the area, there are 30-foot lots, and I've kind of expanded on this, if I can remember where I put it. Tim, do you remember where I put that? Did I give you that card? I'm sorry. This is not inconsistent with the development pattern in the area. And again, not to attempt to do the petitioner's job for them, but just to make a clear point for the board, this is the subject parcel. And I just took some time to kind of look and see if this was a scenario that was foreign to this environment. When we're in a historic context, there's a pattern of development that's been established. And so there are actually a few different, somewhat consistent scenarios that I found here. Probably the most significant one being that there are these 30-foot lots with structures that were built in 1900. And this is a similarly situated block. So no other similarly situated parcels on this current block, but there are some right next door with frontage on Hamilton Court. Again, these two homes built in 1900, each of them sitting on 30-foot lots. Across the street, another one built in 1900. This is a slightly different scenario right here, but nonetheless, you see that recently there have been homes like those that are proposed to be built by the petitioner with 30-foot lot frontage built in 2021, 2022, 2019. That's the photo of the home that is in the staff report. And again, here's a 1914 scenario. But I think the most compelling one is this one right here, where in essence, the petitioner is asking to create this exact same situation on this parcel. It is unlikely that these were created by variance, nonetheless, this is not something that is foreign to this particular area. And so under that particular circumstance, staff does recommend approval. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. This is a view of the street, so that you can see this is a view down Hamilton Court. And just behind the subject parcel, this is actually a 30-foot wide house. And I did not feel that this rose to the level of a condition, but it would be ideal if the proposed structures were more or less consistent architecturally. I don't feel that I have anything to kind of enforce that kind of idea, but in sort of attempting to meet the petitioner halfway and say, okay, I see where you're going. Ideally, this would be a structure of that same nature that is going to be appropriate for this context, if that makes sense. So again, with that, we do recommend approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff?
In the map section that you showed, most of those houses that were along Hamilton Court actually look like they have some rear structures behind the house that faces 36th Street, and the rear structures are along Hamilton Court, right?
That's correct.
They're using it as a lane for all intents and purposes.
Well, the one, I think, kind of distinct difference is that just to the south, you actually have properties that are fronting on Hamilton Court.
Okay. Thank you.
So.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Sure.
Would petitioner please come forward?
Good morning. I'm Jamie Stuckey. I'm with T.R. Long. I'm a registered land surveyor, and I helped the owner put this petition together. Basically, if this had been an actual lane, we wouldn't be here because we would have fallen under the zoning ordinance. Being that it's actually a street, we were coming here trying to get the variance that we need so we can go back to the 30-foot lots. When the original subdivision was laid out, years ago, the city atlas, these were 30-foot lots all along here. They were just bought in bulk to make larger lots. So we're just trying to go back and follow the original.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
Yeah, is there any questions for the petitioner? No. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak? I know I've gotten some notes here that said there were some. Ma'am, if you'd like to come forward.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I live 729 East 36th Street.
Ma'am, please state your name for the record.
I did.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Karen Polite.
Hey, Mrs. Polite. Go ahead.
Okay. I live at 729. This is at 711. So y'all going to tear the house down and build two houses, two duplexes?
I think they're two houses.
So y'all gonna build one house down to build two houses?
I think that's what the petitioner intends to do.
Okay. I don't understand. So, okay. Thank y'all.
Yes, ma'am. Is there any other members of the public that would like to speak? If you're on live, come on, sir.
Good morning. C.K. Krishnan. I own the house next to Ms. Polite. My concern is overcrowding of the area. I've been very impressed at the meeting so far. Talked to Mr. Morrow on the phone. I think one thing that got left out, though, I've lived in the area since 2000. And the new construction in the area is on empty lots, many of them, some on Hamilton Court. And in this case, though, this particular block, the 700 block, it'd be nice if I would have liked to have seen photos, like photo of the existing house, photos of the block. This block is a very special block where most of the houses are on 60-foot lots and some even bigger. The house across the street from me, for instance, I think it's 728, is on a 90-foot lot. And the block is very quiet. The reason I came here today is Most of the people didn't even know what this was going on. But the reason I came here today is because the block as it exists now, there's a lot of talk I heard about, well, this is the way lots were back then, but they weren't empty. You know, they were built. These houses were built. So anyhow, the way the block is now, it's a very quiet block with lots of space between the houses. And that's what really makes it special. And once you allow something like this, the demolition of an historic house, and I'll start talking about that a little bit, that really changes the whole block. It's much different from construction, new construction on Halpin Court, which was mostly empty lots. So if something had to go up, they weren't going to be historic homes. But in this case, we have almost a completely historic block, and they're, I can't even think of it, maybe one or two houses on 30-foot lots, but they're mostly on 60 or bigger. My house, for instance, at 725, sits on a wonderful 60-foot lot, and it's got access to the lane, lots of room on the side. I had a deck built in the back. Sometimes I just sit on the deck at night. And I thought about a story. I have a friend who lives in Ardsley Park, and he was really short on cash, had a little accessory building in the back. I said, well, why don't you rent that out? He said, no, I wouldn't do that to my neighbors. And that's sort of how I feel today, that, by rights, I guess I could ask for the same thing, but I wouldn't do that to my neighbors. It's a wonderful block. And so therefore, I go on record as opposing this variance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone online that would like to speak? If you are online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. Anyone else here that would like to speak? Okay. Still nobody?
No, sir.
All right. We're going to enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, would you like to say anything?
I don't have.
All right, Mr. Plunk?
No comment.
Mrs. Jarrett? Mr. Condon? Mr. Turner?
No.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
Move to approve the variance. Petitioner's request.
So Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, there's a lot of seconds. I think I heard Mrs. Jones. Am I correct, Mrs. Jones?
I did.
Okay, Mrs. Jones has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yeah.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 1000 Davidson Drive, assigned variance or signed variances, 23-006351.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Brad Clement. I'll be speaking on behalf of the MPC today. The petitioner is Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation, so that gives you an idea of where we're talking about in the world. Oops. I apologize. I'm the new guy, so IT sometimes flummoxes me.
Still doing better than I do.
Generally speaking, about the second time I do this, they appoint someone to do it for me. Also, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. I tend to wander off script, so we'll just get that out of the way now. Here's sort of the proposal. And this is a rendering. The building is already underway. And this air facility is adjacent to or right next to a building that looks exactly the same way with the exact same sign. The variance request has to do with the size and coverage of the lettering. Here's the proximity of the property. It's important to note that the actual signage cannot be seen from any right-of-way point of vantage other than the taxiway, which was the purpose of the request. What makes this somewhat unique is the pre-existing building came to be in about 1979 or so. I couldn't confirm, but it has the exact same signage. And it's somewhat irrelevant as to whether they required a variance at that point to put that sign on that building. Fast forward to today, they have the permit and they're building another building and they just want the sign to match the building next door. All of the reasons that our signage controls as it relates to land use have to do with public safety, health and welfare. Given that this is facing a flight line and not obstructing view of traffic or anything else. In fact, when you read the ordinance, it talks about right of ways for motor traffic and waterways. It doesn't mention runways anywhere. So staff recommends approval for this variance, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Any questions for staff? Thank you, sir. Is the petitioner present? All right, petitioner is not present. Is the petitioner online?
Melissa Estany. What's the name of the petitioner?
Gulfstream.
There's someone with name Melissa Smith. She's saying that I'm present. She might be the one. I'm going to unmute her.
Mrs. Smith, are you there?
She is self-muted. Can you unmute yourself,
Mrs. Smith,
please?
Are you muted?
Oh, here we go. Sorry about that, guys. Yep, Melissa Smith here on behalf of Gulfstream.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Nope, just seeking approval for the sign. It's a painted letter set they've got going on there, and it just needs to be viewable from the airways for guests flying into the facility.
Okay. Thank you.
That is, you're welcome.
Any questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? Okay. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jerry?
No, thank you.
Mr. Conn and Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I move that we approve.
Second.
All right. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request for variance. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on this motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 1436 Augusta Avenue, relief for a non-conforming use structure and front yard setback variance. 23-006307.
Good morning. I'm still Brad Clement on behalf of the MPC.
Well, you're consistent, Brad.
Here's the subject parcel in question, located at 1436 Augusta Avenue. Petitioner is asking for relief from a non-conforming structure. It is a conforming use, as well as a variance for a front setback, an encroachment of what should be there per right by the zone. I'd like to draw your attention to this picture. And just as a test to see if you're paying attention, if you can identify five things correct in this picture, you would be misled because there aren't. So before we even talk about the variance, the nonconformity of this situation, I've thought on it for a long time as staff, and I don't know a single action the board could take today that makes this situation any better. So with that said, and given the way things are, we do recommend the variance for the front, and this should be mentioned. Work was underway, and they were given a stop work order. And if I hadn't already said so, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. You can see by the landscape view of the front of the house, this is wrong by right, but it's more right compared to the things next door than it was before. So I recommend approval of the setback variance and relief from non-conforming use. Any questions?
This addition on the front, what is this? Just a covered porch?
It is a porch, and there's an addition to the back of the house. The house is currently under 400 square feet per the IBC. That would not be a livable dwelling. The additional 100 square feet at least brings it up to that standard, and that's in the rear. The front porch is just that. It's an open front porch. But it aligns that house with the next-door neighbor who is 50% on the property line of the petitioner, which is why I point out there's difficulties just finding something right in the way the situation has unfolded.
So the next-door neighbor actually encroaches on his property?
Half of the house.
Yes. Good. So what I can imagine in history is that the larger structure adjacent to the property was built. They built an additional dwelling unit or something next door to it. They never cleaned up the lots and the parcels, and they probably never intended to sell the lot next door. Moving forward in time, this is what happens. When you go to planning school, they tell you, now you'll probably never see this, but.
Savannah.
Here we are.
But you're seeing it. Okay. All right. Are there any questions for staff?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Jared.
Is the house that is split owned by the same individual as the?
No, it had been previously. They are different owners, different entities. But after talking to the petitioner, they seem to get along. And I don't expect. Okay. I don't expect to be an objection by that next door neighbor as it relates to the front setback encroachment, as the house is 50% on his side of the lot line.
Is there any way to clean that up?
With a bulldozer.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
When were these houses constructed, do you know?
The subject parcel per the tax record was 1945, so it doesn't comply with our current ordinance. It wasn't in compliance with the previous ordinance, so on and so forth.
And the other house as well, 1945?
Same ballpark area. And again, I believe the larger structure was the original structure and this one came later. I have no evidence.
Maybe it's a military housing.
Possible.
Because this is out in West Savannah.
I'm sorry?
I said this is out in West Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
Hello, my name is Boris Delbert.
Hello, Mr. Delbert. You run through Daffin Park a lot?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I've been seeing you for years.
Yes.
Mr. Delbert, what would you like to say?
I believe he said it all. I came across this nice little house and in a rough neighborhood, and I thought I can put something there that would bring a lot of beauty to the neighborhood, and that's my intentions.
Any questions for the petitioner?
So you bought the house knowing what was going on with the adjacent house?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
And I talked to the guy who owns the house. I think it's Bowers. I can't pronounce it right. But I told him that he wouldn't have any issues, any problems with me whatsoever. So with that said, he seems pretty sold on the idea. And he support me.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions for petitioner? All right. Thank you, Mr. Delbert.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes.
Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Again, I'll remind you, if you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Okay. Mr. Turner, you want to say anything?
No comment.
Mr. Condon.
No, thank you, sir.
Gary.
I do know Mr. Dilbert. He's done work for me in the past. He's all an right. HVAC guy, so I didn't want to disclose that.
Mr. Plum?
Thank you for trying to improve the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And Mrs. Jones?
I don't have.
Okay. Well, would someone like to make a motion?
I move for approval.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request for variance and relief of non-conforming use. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jarrett?
I'm going to abstain.
Mrs. Jarrett has abstained. So the motion passes, and the request, both of them are approved. Next, we're going to hear 10 Eisenhower Drive. This is signed variances 23-006326.
Morning again. I'm still Brad Clement on behalf of the MPC. I'd like to ask that the staff report be entered into the record. The subject property located at 10 Eisenhower Drive, at the intersection of Eisenhower and White Bluff Road. The petitioner, AAA Sign Company, is the sign people in charge of what will become an end market gas station that you're familiar with in car wash. The relief sought, the variance has to do with the size and the orientations of the signs. Given that this is an intersection and the nature of the mature tree growth and just the orientation of White Bluff Road, I viewed this as much about the commercial advertisement value of that signage weighed with the aid to navigation for motorists that may desire to stop at the end market. And in the signage plan, there are some exhibits, I believe, and this is going to look like every end market in Georgia you've ever seen. The variance requested is not egregious. It makes sense, and it actually improves the ability of motorists to navigate the course without causing burden to traffic. So we recommend approval, and if you have any questions specific to the ordinance or plan as submitted.
Any questions for staff, Mr. Cotton?
Is there a picture of the sign that they are surrendering?
I believe there are exhibits.
The concept plan.
Is it in the concept plan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that's coming down.
I guess so.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition?
Good morning. I'm Bobby Stevens with AAA Sign Company. I have with me Doug Carroll from End Market. So if you have any questions, we're both here to speak on that behalf.
I appreciate you coming forward. I got ahead of myself. I didn't ask for you, petitioner, but I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Connolly?
This is a current sign that's going to be taken down to be replaced by these signs, correct?
This is new construction. The Suzuki sign is being refurbished. It's the corner of White Bluff and Eisenhower. And so there was a secondary sign on the corner, but it has since been taken down. It's gone. Okay. But they need a secondary sign at their driveway further north to let people know that they can turn in there. So we're asking the...
My fellow board member has shown me, so now I say thank you.
Okay. And then they need extra in-market sign on the end of the canopy, on the north end of the canopy, so that people can see coming southbound. And the car wash is big enough to allow them to have 28 square feet of signage, but the ordinance is written that car washes can only have 8 square feet, which is little. And it looks really silly on the building, and their regular signs that they use everywhere look so much nicer. And they go on the towers. It's designed to accommodate those. So that's the things we're asking for.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? None online. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plum?
No.
Mrs. Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve the requested variance.
All right. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the requested variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and request for variance is approved. All right. Next, we've got here nomination of officers for 2024. We should have done this in November, but for whatever reason, we did not.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Merriman as chairman.
Second.
Anybody else? We're not voting today. We're just nominations. We need a vice chairman, too.
Mr. Condon.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Condon for vice chairman.
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Okay. Then we will consider that for the next month. And Ms. Mary, if you will, see that that gets on the agenda to vote on next month. All right. Thank you. Oh, we're fixing to hear that next. So next we're going to hear the bond establishment for 336 Barnard Street. Where's Mr. Morrow? Are one of you going to give the staff report for this?
Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with it, but I don't think anybody else
is. Well, that makes one of us. And
Where did Mr. Morrow go? Because I know he's very up to date on this.
Yeah, let's. Kobe, can you go see if you can find Ed?
Let's take a pause. Short recess. We'll take a recess. Yeah, we'll take a 5-minute recess.
It's good.
Okay.
I knew nothing. You and I went out to the site with the cute dog and the tall pile of crap.
Our attorney thought here that they would be that if you're not right. And read you enough to cover, I know what it's about, but I won't hear the traffic. What I want to hear postpone it a moment or if it hadn't been important.
Is this something you need to review or find? And what do we call
like, no, you're calling, I'm like, you know, with the
everything. So they're going to go into negotiations about what's going to happen. So there was discussion of what the BC decided. And then there was this whole okay, 100 feet, city manager, trying to figure out what he's going to write.
What are we talking about now?
This is what I'll do. There had to be reconciliation.
Busy day.
Yeah, exactly. 800 staff versus 350 versus 200 in zoning. What we got was berm and wall.
All right. Next, we're to hear the bond establishment for 336 Barnard Street. Mr. Morrow, is it accurate to say that staff is not prepared to give a presentation in any way on this?
That is accurate.
That is regrettable.
It's staff's understanding that the city was supposed to have someone available, someone from the city attorney's.
Yeah, the city attorney is unable to be here, and the attorney representing the ZBA in this is not here either. And without, I mean, this, there was no information included. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with what this is about and why, but no one else on this board is. And there's no report for them to have reviewed before this meeting. I've been advised by the city attorney that we should maybe hear a motion to postpone this for a week and call a special meeting to hear this. And my apologies to Mr. Jones, as you're entitled to your due process, and this is holding up your case.
It is. I'd like to read a letter from your counsel to my counsel for the record.
I'm fine with that. Y'all okay with that?
Yeah.
Please come forward and do that. You seem to be the only one prepared here.
Yes, this is the letter from Oracle Johnson, who is your counsel in this matter.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Andrew Jones, and this is to my counsel, Michael Edwards, in which Catherine Bolger of McCorkle Johnson says, I have discussed the bond with my clients, and it will be approved in the amount of $2,000 at the meeting. This approval was requested on December 6th. There will be no executive session and no need for discussion or appearance. So your counsel is saying to my counsel, this is a done deal, and that my counsel doesn't even need to show up today. I came just in case. She says, in fact, we will not be attending. She had every intention not to attend. And then she says, feel free to call me on Monday if you have any questions. So all counsel in this matter before Superior Court are under the understanding that you are approving the bond in the amount of $2,000 today.
I'd like to add that that's all in line with the conversations that I've had with Mrs. Bolger.
And I'd like
except
to submit,
I did not know like she to, wouldn't be here today.
And I'd like to formally submit this as evidence in the record.
Yes, and please include that in the minutes. Certainly would have liked to have heard a little more explanation about, for all of you, I've already heard some about why we're hearing this and that sort of thing. And
can you maybe explain what you explained to me in right. the minutes and for the
so what I've been told is so Mr. Jones, as you all know, is appealing our decision to Superior Court. As part of that, he has to post a bond to cover the cost of the court. It cannot include attorney's fees and that kind of thing. I don't know exactly where the $2,000 number came from. But if all sides are agreeable to that, our attorneys, the city attorney and Mr. Jones, I don't see any reason why that amount can't be. We're actually hearing it. It is my understanding. You won't find this in the ordinance if you look it up. And I've been here on this board going on six years. And, we've never had anything like this before, but what I understand is it is part of state law that the lesser board, which is us, would set them out for this, for his court case. And that's pretty much all I know about it. Apparently I know that our attorney from talking to her and from the email he just read that they're okay with that. And if y'all are okay, I think we could pass motion to set the amount at $2,000.
I'd agree. Yeah.
And there's no.
I'm not okay with it, but y'all can go ahead and move forward.
What are you? Not
I just with? I'm coming in here without any information prior to having this presented to me. I
agree. I mean,
it's I don't like to come in here blind and be asked to vote on something that I don't know anything about.
This is bad.
I understand that you're informed. I understand that Mr. Jones is informed, but.
You're 1,000% right.
Okay.
Two bad situations either way. Yeah.
What if we were to push it off for a week? We could make it to Zoom meeting to vote on it. No?
I don't think a Zoom
meeting. Yeah, I think this needs to be in an open meeting. And yeah.
And y'all can go ahead and, you know, if I'm the only negative vote, then it'll pass.
My two cents is that while I do don't think for a second that Mr. Jones is lying to us or he's fabricated.
No, I don't think so either.
Definitely not. But we have not actually been privy to that information. And so while I appreciate that he's introducing it to us today, I sort of feel like we need to formally be getting that information from our counsel to then vote on. And I think if we, you know, today is Thursday, if we were to push off till, you know, Tuesday or something, you know, just give us the opportunity to receive an email that we can read, come in, sit down, have a vote. Thank you very much. A couple of o'clock, we'll be on.
You want to make a motion to that effect?
I make a motion that we postpone the bond establishment meeting till.
Can people do too? I mean, should we ask what?
What's what? Yeah.
Tuesday would be the 30th.
Tuesday is fine with me. If we have to postpone it,
would that work for you?
Tuesday at the same time.
We have to have at least four people for a quorum.
Right.
They would probably work for me.
At 10.
Tuesday. Okay, Pam will be here Thursday.
Right. I mean, she'll be back next week. It's just I know her inbox is going to be crazy and she's going to have lots of stuff. I just want to make sure when we get together next time, we're prepared.
And Mr. Morrow, and I know that this is not on you or anything, but I would like to strongly admonish staff to please come prepared with a full report. And please have it sent out ahead of time so the people that are showing up here can review that and know what they're talking about when they get here.
Having something thrown on the agenda at the last minute really doesn't work for me.
Completely understood.
Thursday at 10 works for me.
I can't do Thursday at 10, but if that's everybody else can.
You said the 30.
He asked for moving it to Thursday instead of Tuesday if we could.
I'm not sure we need to do that. I'm of the opinion that if we receive that original email correspondence from the attorney, that would be okay with me. That's I don't need an entire staff.
Yeah.
I just think that for us to have voted on something without physically seeing the document ourselves, it's not a good look. You know, and I don't think we need the entire staff present. I just, if there's an agreement between attorneys that it's $2,000 and we can see the string of emails and everybody's in agreement, then I'm cool with that. That's all I'm looking for.
Okay.
I just don't want to vote on something that when I look at the paperwork, blank.
Tuesday at
10. Are you guys available Tuesday?
Well, assume we are. Have the email.
No, I understand
that,
Mr. Jones.
I don't have the
Jones.
Email.
Can
we share it?
Mr. Jones, it doesn't matter in the sense that because it's a printed piece of paper that technically, and I'm not suggesting this, by the way, it could be something fabricated. Could be. So it's just not right that we would vote on something that our own folks haven't sent to us, if you see what I mean. We're being sued by you all.
I might add that that should have been sent.
Oh, absolutely right. We should have seen
us. It's on us.
And that's the reason that I want to expedite it for you and get it done as soon as possible and not string the thing along any further. That's why I'm saying if we can do Tuesday, let's just do Tuesday. I don't think we need to wait till Thursday. I think it's entirely possible that between today, tomorrow, and Monday, that this string of emails and an email can be sent to all the board members so that we could show up here Tuesday morning and get this thing done faster than it takes me to drink my cup of coffee.
So, Mr. Condon, are you making a motion to that effect?
I'm making a motion that we reconvene on Tuesday at 10 a.m. here to vote on the bond establishment for 336 Barnard Street.
Okay, Mr. Condon has made a motion to postpone the bond establishment for 336 Barnard until Tuesday, January the 30th, 2024 at 10 a.m. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jared. Is there any discussion on this? And I will again admonish staff, please be on top
get
of this.
Get something for us.
Whether Pam's here or not, have something.
Beforehand,
all right.
Too.
Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
I'll abstain. I'll abstain.
Okay. Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes, and we will reconvene on January the 30th at 10 a.m. to hear this case.
Apologies to Mr. Jones for the issues.
Sorry.
Yeah. We have the staff report in advance of the Tuesday. So we
please make sure that Mr. Jones gets that as well. Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
No other items on the agenda.
Yes, sir.